Jesus, help us with your word. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. This morning we're speaking about your best friend, the dove. Your best friend, the dove. Acts chapter 3 starts about a man who was carried to the temple gate, and we're going to read it in just a minute. But there's something that troubled me about the story as I started to read, because it was at this temple that Jesus went in most often, referred to in the Bible. And he goes in there regularly. It says that this man was lame from birth and was carried to the temple gate every day. That means that Jesus, for 3 years of his ministry, walked past this man and went into the temple. That man was sitting there, right next to him. 3 years of ministry time. We're not talking about the time before that. It is also the place where the apostles or the disciples went in all the time. That man was sitting there. And so when we read this, we're inclined to kind of put a bit of a romantic spin on it. Oh, the man arrived on that day for the first day, and he sat at the temple gate. No. He was carried there every day, and he sat there. He was lame from birth. So let's pick up the story, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Can I say that again? He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Now, let's remove the romantics out of this whole thing. If he was lame from birth, I want to tell you, I don't know if you've seen a man who's lame from birth. Their legs are totally wasted away because there is no muscle there. Nothing. They have little stick legs. If you come along to Thailand with us, we go to two boys, Tam and Jele. Their legs, if you touch their leg, it is literally like a bone that is surrounded by skin. You can literally, you can feel the size of the bone. Because as you touch it, you're onto the bone. There is nothing there. On top of it, this man was born lame. He had never walked a day in his life. This was not like riding a bicycle where he was touched and then all of a sudden he learned, "Oh yes, I remember when I was a kid, this is how you walk." He instantly got up. Miraculously, he has muscle that's formed there. He has sinew that's strengthened on the bones. And instantly, he has the ability to walk. And not only to walk, but to start to run and jump. I want to tell you, a major creative miracle of God. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Let's read on from verse 9. Verse 9. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, verse 10, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, and you handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses to this. I want to speak this morning on the Holy Spirit, and we're going to start to get into a bit of teaching, but I thought this morning I wanted to stop before we get there, and I want to speak about three aspects of the Holy Spirit. First of all, is to speak about the sovereignty of the Spirit. Secondly, is to speak about the sensitivity of the Spirit. And thirdly, is to speak about the surprise of the Spirit. Let's start by speaking about the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. I'm trusting scriptures are coming up there. Romans chapter 9, verse 15. Paul writes and he says, "For he says to Moses," quoting from the Old Testament, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Psalm 115 and Psalm 135 says, God does as he pleases. And this morning I want to say to you, God, by his Holy Spirit, is a sovereign God. Jesus walks past, over, and over, and over, and the Holy Spirit does nothing for that man sitting at the gate. We don't like that. John chapter 3, verse 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Now, let's just stop here for a moment, because this scripture is so often taken out of context, because what people start to say is, well, then I'm a free spirit. I'm a total free spirit. I can do whatever I want to. I go wherever I want to. The Spirit is upon me and I am totally free. No. What it says is the wind goes where God directs it. God directs the wind. And he decides. And it says everyone who is born of the Spirit is exactly the same as that wind. They're directed and they move not where they want to, but where God wants them to move. And this morning I want to say we have to be so careful that we start to get into this free spirit. I'm my own man. I can do whatever I want to. John chapter 5 verse 19. Says Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." I want to tell you, Jesus wasn't even his own man. Jesus did what the Father told him to do, and what he saw the Father doing. And you say, but isn't redemption for all men? Did God not decide that all men should be saved and all men should be healed? Absolutely. But what we have to be very careful of is saying there's a difference between what God destined for all men to happen and what the Holy Spirit intends and what God does. Jesus walked past that lame man day after day after day. Holy Spirit never told him to stop. Jesus had not seen the Father do it. You say, that's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Let's hang in there. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 13. John 16, verse 13. Hopefully it's up there. But when he, the Spirit of truth, I'm so glad they wrote in he. When he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. I want to tell you, not even the Holy Spirit is his own man. He does what the Father shows him to do. Why didn't Jesus heal that man? Here's why I think. He was waiting for Peter and John. And he wanted something special on the day that they came past. And I have a sneaking suspicion that Jesus would walk past that man every day going, Peter and John are coming. Hang in there, buddy. And the next day, Peter and John are coming. Just hang in there. It's not long now and Peter and John are coming. And I can imagine, why didn't the Holy Spirit heal that man when Peter walked past? It says in the Bible that Peter would walk down the street. They would carry people out on stretchers and put them in the street so that his shadow could fall on them. And as his shadow fell on them, they were healed. Why did he walk past that man? You want to tell me the sun was not shining there? What was the reason that that man was not healed if he walked right past? I mean, if I was that man, I would have gone, hey, Peter, walk on the other side so that the shadow can get me. No, because there was this day coming when Peter and John come walking past and they stop and they go, Jesus, your Holy Spirit has come and today's the day. And today we're going to start to minister to this man. And we're going to see some fun happening. You know what? The Holy Spirit is sovereign. We can't dictate to him and tell him how it's going to be. But I want to tell you at the same time, we need to be able to hear his voice. Peter and John walked past this man, and that day was his day. And they led to pray for him. I wonder how that crippled guy felt. I wonder what it would have been like to be that crippled guy. Because you would have been sitting there and thinking, what's the story? Jesus goes past here every day. I've heard about people. I've heard about how he touched people. I've heard about how he raised the dead. This is the guy. This is the guy. He could help me. Why does he walk right on by, but he doesn't stop to help me? You know what? It wasn't his time. And for us, sometimes we live this morning the same as that story. Is our numbers being bumped over? Or we live as crippled and we don't understand why. Because God is waiting. There's a Peter and a John coming that's going to pray for us. And we're going to be part of this redemptive story. We were in church in Cape Town, and things were going well for us. Finances were going well. We had our own business, and things were looking really promising. And everything in me wanted to start helping people. So I would see somebody that's unemployed, and we'd put money in an envelope and bless them with it. And we'd start to give and give and give and give. One day, Kevin called me aside, and he said, Mark, come here. He said, be very careful. Be very careful. Don't be Jesus. Don't be Jesus. The Holy Spirit's busy. The Holy Spirit's busy. Be led by him. Sometimes Jesus has put them at that place where he's saying, I want you to trust me and I want you to find victory and I want you to know that I am God, your provider. And I want them to pray and to fast and to get to know me as the God who provides. But you shortcut the process and you go and give them money. And you know what happens? You step into the gap and they don't receive and enjoy the fruit of what God wants for them. He said, stop. He said, when you're wanting to give money, put that money in an envelope and start to pray and be led by the Spirit before you give somebody that envelope. It was a very valuable lesson for me. And over time, I've watched. Sometimes I'm so quick. Come, let me lay hands on you and pray. Oh, dear Lord. I'm so sorry that I jumped in so quickly. Oh, the Lord's busy with you. The Lord's busy. Just I need to back off a little bit. Jesus is busy. He's busy doing his thing. We don't like that. We don't like that. We want quick, quick, quick. Come on. Let's lay hands, quick. We want it now. We want a breakthrough in Jesus' name. Come on, surely he can do it. But if you've been around Jesus for long enough, you know his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is sovereign. Number two, Number two, the sensitivity of the Spirit. I want to say to you this morning that the Holy Spirit is super sensitive. The Holy Spirit is super sensitive. Now, before we do that, if I had to say that to you, you would be offended. If I had to say, Rachel, I think you're super sensitive, Rachel would say, you're horrible and rude. I'm not. And absolutely right, because for us, that is a trait that is absolutely despicable. But this morning, I want to say to you, the Holy Spirit is super sensitive. And the reason I can say that is the Holy Spirit does not have ego. He does not have ego problems. You see, the sensitivity of the Spirit is not the sensitivity that you and I know. The sensitivity of the Spirit is the sensitivity of the dove that comes and rests on us. Let's read a little bit. John chapter 1, verse 32. John chapter 1, verse 32 says, then John gave this testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him, and I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. How can John the Baptist say, this man I did not know? How could he say that? This was his cousin. He grew up with him. He knew exactly who he was. But John says, this man, when the Holy Spirit rested on him, I did not even know who he was. He was such a transformed man by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what? I've become so aware. I started to study this and prepare for this preach absolutely weeks ago. And as I read that scripture, I felt as though God broke in on my world and started to speak to me about it and say, this Holy Spirit comes down as a dove. This Holy Spirit comes down as a dove. And I've become so aware of the sensitivity of the dove. The sensitivity of the dove. You know what I've realized is that there's so many things that can scare the dove. There's so many things that can scare the dove. And I'm going to come to that in a moment. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And we start reading there. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit can be grieved, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, you don't lose your salvation when you grieve the Holy Spirit. He says, this is the Holy Spirit who seals you. Your adoption papers have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Sealed. He's not leaving. The adoption seal is not lifted from your adoption paper. But it says you grieve him. Let's jump down to verse 31. Because this is how we grieve him. And this is what causes him to go. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all the types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. I'm loving this new Bible of mine. It's got all these little marks all over, and it kind of prompts me, what is that thing? What is that thing? Why is it there? And in there it had slander, and the word there is the Greek word blasphemia. Blasphemia, it's where we get our word blaspheme from. And I read about what blasphemia is. Blasphemia is not just swearing God's name. It's ascribing an untruth to God. It's ascribing an untruth to God. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. I wonder what it would have been like for Peter and John. That morning could have been so different for them. I think it could have been very different. And they could have been walking down there And these are some of the scenarios that play out in my head. Sorry, you can see I've got an overactive imagination. But these are some of the things that start to arrive there. As they're walking down, and the man's there, Peter's just about to stop, and all of a sudden John starts to think, what is it about him? Every time we go somewhere, he gets the glory. He's the guy who steps up. It's him, you know. He's like the number one man. Why must I always be the number two man? And the Holy Spirit takes off and the dove goes. Or what about if Peter had a fight with his wife that morning? And so he has a grumbly fight with his wife, and now he's really grumbly as he comes down. And then he actually writes about it. He writes about it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And he says, you know what? He says, you grumble with your wife and you have a fight with your wife. Your prayer's not answered. Some of you are wondering why your prayer's not answered. It's because you're fighting with your wife. And all of a sudden, as they're walking down, Peter thinks, this morning, it's this morning. Oh, it's not. The dove's gone. What if they'd gossiped? The two boys are walking down. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And they're walking down. And all of a sudden, they start. And Peter says, yeah, did you see James? He's always the last one at the prayer meeting. But I'm lazy. Can't get out of bed in the morning. And the dove takes off. Starts to fly. And you know what? I've become so aware. As I was prepping for this for the last couple of weeks, I've become so aware of this Holy Spirit who comes as a dove. And what do I do that frightens him off? You know what? I don't want to put a heavy on you. You need to know the Holy Spirit, and you need to know what works for you and what doesn't. You know what? I've started to realize there's some of the movies that I watch. The Holy Spirit doesn't hang around. Does he doesn't like that. Doesn't he leaves? I've realized that there's sometimes when I speak to people and I'm ungracious, he takes off. Doesn't like it. Doesn't like it. He flies away. I realize sometimes I want to be my own man. I want to be independent. It's my life and I have rights. And the minute he does, I do, he flies. Now you're going to find this hard to believe, but there's sometimes I take strain with the church. It's like, come on, why doesn't this thing want to work? And I get frustrated. Why does everyone want to do their own thing? Why does everyone want to follow their own agenda? Why does everyone want to live for themselves? Why do we have to beg for people to worship? The Holy Spirit doesn't like it. And he takes off and he flies. Is he at home on your shoulder? Is he at home on your shoulder? I want to say, you know what? The story for Peter and John that morning could have been so different. Could have played out very, very differently. But that morning, the Holy Spirit's on their shoulder. And they stop. They say, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do, I want to give you. I was listening to Artie Kendall, or reading a piece. Sharon and I showed you that little booklet, and that I'd highly recommend for a devotional. And Artie Kendall writes in the book, and he says, find out what grieves the Holy Spirit, and don't do that. And I kind of thought, oh yeah, and I just kind of carried on. And then I thought, no, actually, Artie Kendall's just hit on a massive big truth. He just absolutely ripped out the hammer and just hit that nail with a vengeance. Boodish! Find out what grieves the Holy Spirit and don't do that. Number three, the surprise of the Spirit. It says that as soon as they've healed this man, the people gather around and Peter says, why does this surprise you? Why does this surprise you? I want to tell you, folks, We're going to need to get used to the Holy Spirit and His movement, and we're going to have to get used to what the dove's busy doing, and we're going to have to become so well acquainted with what God's busy with and enjoy Him and not be surprised. Not be surprised. This morning, God was busy touching and working with some people here. Some people got a prophetic word, some didn't, and He was still working. We shouldn't be surprised. Something changed. I want to tell you a story in closing about Mary Slessor. Mary Slessor grew up in Scotland, and good Scottish girl there, Rach, and grew up in a really poor family. Mary Slessor's father was an alcoholic. In fact, as far as I remember, her mother was an alcoholic as well. And grew up with a couple of kids in the family. At a young age, her father passed away, and so did her two brothers of disease, started as pneumonia. And Mary and her mum and two sisters lived together, and the only way that they could survive was, at that time, was, so this is late 1800s, is Mary would go to school in the morning from 7 until 12. At 12, she would finish school and then go to the factory and work from 12 until 5. And that was regular. That wasn't Mary's thing. Many families did that. That's what children did in those days. Mary finished school at a very young age and worked in the factory. But her mum came to salvation, and she would get little tracts about missionaries and what was busy happening on the mission field, and she would leave them lying around, and Mary would grab these, and she would start to read, and as she read, it would start to grip her heart as to what was happening around the world. Mary Slessor, at the age of 18, decided she wanted to go to Calabar in Nigeria, and boarded a boat at 18 years old with only a suitcase in her hand, not knowing what was on the other side of the ocean, and went to Calabar, got off at the port there, and they didn't even really know what white people looked like in the 1800s. And Mary goes to the Efik people and starts to minister, and the thing that grabbed her and drew her to that tribe was that there were many twins being born in the tribe. And they believed that this was supernatural, evil supernatural that was coming. And because of this evil supernatural, one child was coming from the father and the other child was coming from an evil spirit. And so what they would do was, because they didn't know which one was the evil child and which one wasn't, they would take these twins out into the bush and they would leave them for the wild animals. Mary Slessor goes into the midst of that environment, and she starts to minister to that tribe, and she opens an orphanage and starts to bring in all of those twins and starts to look after them and care for them and minister to the tribes. And there are times when Mary Slessor becomes so ill that she is so riddled with malaria that she cannot stand on her feet. And she tells them how to make a cart that looks a bit like a wheelbarrow. And she gets them to make it by hand and lift her and put her in there. And they push her around the village. And from the wheelbarrow, she sits and ministers the word of God, because she's so convicted that the King is wanting to bring salvation. And literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands come to salvation. Mary Slessor goes on. And as a missionary is appointed as the high judge for the state, because they say she's such a righteous woman and she makes such wise decisions that they say, you be the judge, we will come, and whatever you decide, that is the judgment we live by. And Mary alone judges and preaches the gospel and brings salvation to the tribes. And you go to Calabar, and there's a statue to Mary till this day. What on earth takes a woman out of Scotland at the age of 18 to go to the tribes and preach the gospel and open an orphanage and live there and die in that nation. I tell you, this was the Holy Spirit. Because Mary knew the dove and was so well acquainted and so comfortable with the dove and so aware of who he was that she was going to do nothing but nothing to offend him or grieve him in any way. And the thing that caught my attention to the story, because as I read the story, I thought, well, isn't that a lovely, sweet story? But the story ends with the interview of the tribal chiefs, because the tribal chiefs used to submit themselves to Mary. And these were vicious men who had killed missionaries before. And they spoke to the tribal chiefs and said to them, what is it that makes you submit? By the strong arm of the law. It's not going to be by the victory and the stealth and the strength that we have. It's going to be by this Holy Spirit who comes as a dove. It's going to be by this Holy Spirit who rests and finds himself comfortable on our shoulders. The words, Paul says, it's not going to be by the strong arm of the law. It's not going to be by the victory and the stealth and the strength that we have. It's going to be by this Holy Spirit who comes as a dove. It's going to be by this Holy Spirit who rests and finds himself comfortable on our shoulder. Lord Jesus, this morning I want to pray. Help us. Help us to be wise. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to welcome the dove. Holy Spirit, this morning, come. Holy Spirit, come. We acknowledge that you're sovereign. We acknowledge that you're sensitive. And we acknowledge that you bring surprise. Just for a moment, can we just be silent? Lord, this morning we're aware you didn't call us necessarily to be a Mary Slessor. But you called us by name. And you adopted us. And you didn't just adopt us, but you adopted us into your family. You adopted us into your family. And we want to thank you this morning. Forgive us if we've spoken harshly about your church or about your people. Forgive us if we've grieved you, Holy Spirit. We pray, Holy Spirit, you'd be comfortable. Come, dove of God. And Holy Spirit, just as you do, we recognize what John the Baptist said of Jesus. I didn't know him. We pray, bring transformation so that we would be in your likeness, Jesus. I'm going to close in just a minute. Could I encourage you that if the Holy Spirit is busy with you, don't rush. Don't frighten him away. Just stay where you are. Lord Jesus, this morning I pray that we would have a heightened awareness of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.